In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Almighty God, we ask your blessings upon us, especially as we conclude the year of the priest. Let this be a time for us to appreciate this gift that is given to the church of the priesthood of Jesus Christ. Let us also appreciate the way in which you prepared the hearts and minds of your church for receiving this gift, especially in the Old Testament. As we meditate on the Gospel of St. John, may we be inspired by everything that you say and do. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, the topic is priesthood in John. And if that's not adventurous, that's adventurous. And then, to make it even more difficult, I'm going to start by going into the Old Testament. We're going to do priesthood in the whole Old Testament, and then go and do priesthood in John. Now, that's just crazy. That's just insane to try to do that. But what you have in front of you is a handout that will kind of go over. And I suspect that it'll take an hour to get through everything, maybe a little bit more. So we'll see how all this goes as we go through this. What we'll do first is touching on some Old Testament themes about the priesthood, about how you see priests function in the Old Testament. Once we lay a little bit of groundwork, which is the material that you have on your handout, then we'll start going into the Gospel of John, and we'll look for the same types of things in the Old Testament, except renewed or transformed or changed, seeing new ways in which John takes old themes and then brings new meaning out of them in the New Testament according to the New Covenant. So one of the first things that we'll do is just look at a whole series of priestly duties that are here. Now, you have the handout in front of you, so unfortunately you've had a chance to maybe look at it already. So I can't quiz you to see if you can come up with different things that priests do. But as you see this list of different things and I start to group them together, I'm suspecting that a lot of these things would be familiar things that you would see, that you'd see in the priesthood in the Old Testament. For example, most obviously things like offering sacrifices, very typical thing to do, especially in the temple of the Old Testament. Carrying the ark, that was another common thing that you saw them do, especially in the desert, and carrying the ark into the promised land and transporting it from place to place. Sometimes the priest would blow trumpets, and this could be for different reasons. Summoning people to worship, announcing the beginning of a march so that people would break camp. This is also a specifically priestly duty. Praying for the troops in battle. There's a great scene there where Moses holds up his hands, and as long as he holds up his hands, then they win the battle. And if he lowers his hands, they lose the battle. Do you remember that scene in the Old Testament? So I would call that a priestly action. As you see them praying for the troops that are protecting or defending Israel. Circumcision is another priestly duty that is there. Then going on to this next group, you get other things such as building altars, consecrating altars, building the temple, consecrating the temple, cleansing, especially by using water to cleanse and to purify. But they also sought the forgiveness of sins, especially by the sprinkling of blood, another very classic priestly image, as they would take the blood from the slaughtered bull and use it to either sprinkle or consecrate the altar, or the temple, or the people. There are different scenes throughout the Old Testament in which you see consecration through the sprinkling of blood, especially asking for the forgiveness of sins. You have the consecration of other things like stones or shrines. There are a few examples we can point to. Sometimes they would be responsible for judging, passing judgment on what is clean or unclean, as you would have to go to the priest so they could pronounce whether or not a specific thing was leprosy, for example, whether or not you are clean and welcomed into the assembly or unclean and having to be kept out of the assembly. They also gave blessings, sometimes curses as well, another priestly responsibility. And then if we go a little further, we can get to some other examples that are there. These come up a little bit here and there, kind of scattered throughout different portions of the scriptures, but feeding the people, sometimes feeding them physically. And there are some different scenes at which you would feed the people, either by giving them manna in the desert, or water from the rock. Now these would all be, associated with, Moses. Moses was from the tribe of Levi. So we talk about the priesthood and his assistant Aaron. Aaron was, high priest. And so some of these are priestly things in that Moses and Aaron do them. And there's one or two other things I might look at in a little bit. The idea of feeding or providing water. But sometimes they could feed the people not just with physical food, but feed them with teaching or instruction. And that's where there's other priestly duties, such as, for example, reading the law. teaching the laws and the ordinances. They just give you one passage there about teaching the law and the prophet speaking about the lips of a priest guarding knowledge so that way people could be nourished or taught. And that was another kind of a priestly example. Maybe not one you'd think of right away. If you're thinking primarily about sacrifices in the altar, you might not necessarily think of reading the law or teaching as being a priestly duty. But I think it's one of those things that we can put into this broader category of priestly responsibilities. And then also, there's kind of another category that I'm putting here, praying on behalf of the people before God, speaking the word of God to the people. And when I put these things together, let me take a step back and just go through each of these things, but now grouping them in a little bit. I've taken them and I've tried to break them down by putting all of these different duties into four different categories. The first things that we talked about all had to do in some way with leading worship, being a principal figure in leading an act of worship, and that oftentimes meant by offering up a sacrifice. So broadly speaking, there's all sorts of things you might say fall under that notion of presiding at the liturgy, leading worship, and offering sacrifice. So there's sort of one category. That second category of things has to do with consecrating and making holy. Broadly speaking, now it's in all sorts of different ways. There are certain things that had to be consecrated in the course of observing the Mosaic law and so forth. But generally speaking, that notion of consecrating, even washing something and cleansing it, was to consecrate it or make it holy, to wash away impurities. Or the shedding of blood was to consecrate. To consecrate an altar required that it would be sprinkled with blood, for example. That third group is nourishing, and I sort of already gave you the little hint there, that you can nourish with physical food or water, but you can also nourish in a deeper way by teaching or instructing. That also, I would say, is nourishing. So that third category falls under just what you might broadly say would be nourishing the people. And then this fourth category, which is a little bit of an unusual one, it's hard to pin down, it's the idea of being a mediator, that a priest is a mediator between God and man. And so what happens in the covenant? You have the Old Testament covenant, I will be your God and you will be my people. And so somehow in the priesthood there is a responsibility to witness to God to the people, meaning speaking what God has commanded or acting on behalf of God toward the people, but then also being the representative from the people to God, offering up their sacrifices or their prayers, mediating on their behalf. So here's this intermediary. The priest is this figure who stands between God and the people. The people, because of their sinfulness and their unworthiness, are at such a distance, so they need a mediator. They need someone to bridge that gap. So those are, now just broadly speaking, four different ways of looking at things that priests did in the Old Testament, giving you several examples under each category. And now as we look at the other part of the page that is there, then I wanted to get into three different types of priesthood that you see also in the Old Testament. Now, so I admittedly, some of these things we're doing very quickly, and I'm kind of rushing through these things, but I just want to get some of these ideas in your mind, because as we go on to the Gospel of John, we'll be, and that's really where we want to spend our time, is we want to look more at those things. So beyond just the things that priests did, or what was in their job description, or what they were responsible for, consider these three different models of the priesthood in the Old Testament. Now, you have the sheet in front of you, so if I wanted to take more time and I wanted to take a whiteboard or something, I could make you guess and then we'd see what would happen. But so you have it in front of you, but let me jump to the conclusion that if I were to ask you to identify the primary model of the priesthood, we would all probably tend to focus on that second model, which is the priesthood of Levi and Aaron. In other words, whenever you think of priestly things that were done in the Old Testament, more often than not, you revert immediately to that notion of the Levitical and the Aaronic priesthood, or the priesthood that comes from the tribe of Levi and the descendants of Aaron. And why? Because that was the first moment at which we really started speaking about priests. You start to see the term priest. priest. A priest or Levite in the Old Testament. You have consecrations and ordinations in the Ark of the Covenant built in the temple, or you have the tent being constructed, and then eventually the temple that would succeed that. You have promulgation of feasts like the Passover that comes right out of Moses and Aaron in that period of time. Passover and the Feast of Weeks and the Feast of Booths and all of these different things that they would have to follow as part of the ritual worship. It all came from Moses. It was all from that time period. So when we start thinking about the priesthood, we jump immediately to that second category, that the priesthood of Levi and Aaron. And yet, I think it's worth us taking a little time to think about two other models of priesthood that we also see in the Old Testament. Because remember that Moses came along long after many things had happened. Remember, it was only after Adam and Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and all of these others that eventually then you cross over out of the book of Genesis and you cross over into the book of Exodus where you start to get Moses and Aaron from the tribe of Levi. So where is the priesthood prior to that? Was it that no one offered any sacrifices? Well, that's not true, because we know that Abraham and Isaac, we know that they did offer sacrifices. Is it that no one built any altars? No, we know that that happened. We know Noah built an altar of thanksgiving after he was saved from the flood. And is it that no one made any offering from the first fruits? We know Cain and Abel. We know about that story. So there were lots of priestly things that happened long before Levi and Aaron, or the tribe of Levi, and Moses and Aaron came on the scene as the official priesthood. Before that, you have what you might call the patriarchal priesthood, or the priesthood of the firstborn. And you kind of get little hints and images of this. Now, it wasn't so carefully regulated, and it didn't have all of the rules and the laws that were so clearly prescribed. But what you do have in Old Testament times is you have all of these other examples of different things that, in the time of the patriarchs, a kind of priesthood that was offered. It's interesting to note that when you celebrated the Passover, and remember you have the event at Mount Sinai, where they construct the golden calf. You remember this scene? And when they do this, there's this great moment where so many of the people in Israel were apostatizing because they were deciding to worship a golden calf rather than the Lord God. And it was the tribe of Levi who were faithful, and because they stood with Moses, because they remained faithful, they received for themselves a priesthood, meaning to the exclusion of all of the other people of Israel. Meaning they lost the priesthood because of their infidelity. The tribe of Levi retained the priesthood. But remember, before that event, before Mount Sinai, remember how they got there. There was a ritual that they were given, the Passover ritual. And where was it to be celebrated? In the temple? There wasn't a temple yet. In the tent? There wasn't a tent yet. Before the Ark of the Covenant? There wasn't an Ark of the Covenant yet. Where was the Passover lamb to be sacrificed? In each home. So each household was to offer. You see how there's a kind of a priesthood that is handed down to the firstborn sons. And how were they consecrated? Remember, they had to be redeemed because the angel of death was going to go forward, striking down the firstborn unless the blood of the lamb was placed on the doors and on the lintels. So there is a kind of a priesthood that you see of the patriarchs and a priesthood handed down to the firstborn sons. But it was lost when the infidelities of the people of Israel at Mount Sinai, they forfeited that. So instead, the priesthood then was limited and reserved only to that tribe of Levi that had remained faithful, and we sort of pass into kind of a new sort of a priesthood, a kind of change in the priesthood. What do they say in the letter to the Hebrews? That whenever there is a change in the priesthood, there's also a change in the law, and then comes the law, and comes Leviticus. All of the laws that were set forth as they talk about the tribe of Levi and the priesthood that has been inaugurated. So you kind of have this transformation that's here. But when we go into the Gospel of John, I want to keep that old priesthood of the firstborn in mind, because that's going to come back up again. We're going to start hearing images, not just of the technical priesthood you see of Levi and Aaron, but we're going to see hints of that sort of original or more foundational priesthood of the fathers and the firstborn sons. So then we can move to the third category of priesthood, which is a priesthood of the kings. That eventually, remember, after the period of the judges, they got to the point, they said, we need a king to reign over us so we can be like other nations. And then eventually a king was given to them. And although there's no reference specifically in the scriptures to talk about the kings themselves being priests, they do lots of priestly things. And that's where the handout, I just wanted to make sure that you know, I cited a whole series of things that you had with the kingship that happened, that you see in Saul, but probably most specifically in David and in Solomon and in some of the kings that followed. I gave you a whole series of citations, if you want to look them up, about different places where the kings offered sacrifices, a priestly action, and yet they did that. They imposed judgments. They blessed the people. They ate the sacred bread of the presence. That's a famous scene where David tells the priest to bring out the holy bread, which only the priest can eat, but he and his men eat it. So David is kind of functioning like a priest there. He feeds the people. He calls for the ark. He commands the, then they bring the ark with him. He calls for the ark to be led out into battle. The kings would teach the law. Sometimes they would even wear priestly vestments, like we see in this great scene where David is dancing before the ark, wearing a priestly kind of a vestment. Moved the resting place of the ark and built the temple. Building the temple is probably one of the most significant priestly acts. Did that fall to the priests to build the temple? It fell to the kings. It was David who was going to build the temple. David was prevented. It wasn't the Lord's will. Instead, it would be his son Solomon, and it was Solomon who then built the temple and then called for the dedication. So there is a kind of a way in which there's a kind of priesthood that seems to belong to the kings, as they exercise a kind of governance over the people, and that means that they also can pray to God on behalf of the people and act in a priestly way with respect to the people. And then finally, I just make an interesting little comment that as we talk about priests, kings, and prophets, remember we talk about Jesus being priest, prophet, and king. There's also a sense, I just throw a few little comments in there, in which kings also could kind of be regarded as prophets of sorts as well. So you kind of see this image, though David wasn't perfect, Solomon wasn't perfect, but you kind of see a little bit of a hint of the majesty and the grandeur of the kings, who were kings and priests and even to an extent prophets, that would then be brought to a whole new completion in Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, who is priest, prophet, and king. So just a few reflections that are there. I'm going to ask you to keep this kind of in front of you because we're going to refer back to some of these very things as we start talking about the Gospel of John. Okay. So that's a very quick overview of the priesthood. We just did the priesthood in the Old Testament. Okay, that's about as fast as we could do that. Now, the reason why we're here tonight is to talk about the Gospel of John. So we're going to jump into that. And if the other material we went over very quickly, and we did, that was very fast, it's only because we just want to get a little taste of it, so that way we have these things in mind as we start to get into John's Gospel. Now, what we're looking for are different types of priestly actions. I gave you four broad categories. We're going to look for those. And we're going to look for different priestly models, like the firstborn son, or the priesthood of Levi and Aaron, or the priesthood of the kings. So we're going to keep our eyes open for all of that.